I hear it now. I believe your pastor told me y'all usually get out about 9 o'clock, so I'll try to be in a hurry. You have ambassador students here. I thought you did. They look like ambassador students. Hey, I went to junior high school in that building up there. I was going to tell you the video. I think it said the Lord had allowed me to build 18 church buildings in the Philippines. It's now 25, and we're building the number 26. I went over there in January and took a few preachers with me and went back in May the 1st, and took, there was 8 of us. And 2 of those pastors, local pastors around here, said that they would, their church would build a church building. So I was hoping that before I got too old to travel, that I might have 50 over there. But, you know, that's what men think, and it's God's work. I tell you, God, I really do. God has been good to me. And if you look in chapter 8 of the book of Acts, I wondered why, when I first came in here, one of those little bitty fellers said, "I like your ugly tie." And I thought, well, man, I'm just kidding. Parents, I know you're wondering if it was your kid. No. But I started to get up there. I've got some ugly ones at home. The thing about that camp, by the way, that you had mentioned in feeding them, the Lord always had compassion on those that he preached to, and he fed them many times. But some of those, it's not all young people go to the camp. And what they do, we teach and preach to them in the daytime and at night. They might be able to walk up to the waterfall, walk down to the ocean, but it's mainly teaching and preaching, and they know that. But there's also some older people there, and there's people in those villages that have never been outside their village in their whole life. And where I'm ministering, a city of Tarlac City has 1 million people, they say, and then it has a whole lot of little villages around it, like Passion Spring and Earl, Lattimore, and this and that. And these little villages have as many as 5,000 people in them, sometimes 10. So these preacher missionaries are going into these villages and starting churches. And they're doing a real good job. And by the way, they had what they call a 2020 vision. They wanted, about 2012, they wanted to plant 20 church buildings, 20 churches in these villages. They want to plant 20 by the year 2020. So that was their 2020 vision. They're now up to about 75 churches they planted in those villages. And, you know, there may only be 1 or 2 motorcycles or something in that village, so they don't have transportation to get to another village or into the main church. So they need a church taken to them. And these churches, the church buildings I'm building, you saw the inside and outside, they say they will hold 100 Filipinos or 50 Americans. What they tell me, and I never did understand what they're talking about. But now, after I got back and saw myself in the mirror, I figured out what they're talking about. I want you to look in chapter 8 of the book of Acts, a real quick message I'll give you. This is about a missionary. And Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. I'm going to read about 10 verses here. But it says, "The angel of the Lord spake and to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, and to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. I want you to notice that. They told him, Arise and go. And next verse says, He arose and went. That's what a servant's supposed to do. And he behold, a man of Ethiopia and eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure. What a job. And had come to Jerusalem for to worship. I want you to think about this. I looked on a map. It's about 1,500 miles from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. And so this wasn't a one-day journey with camels or whatever was pulling that chariot. But verse 28, he was returning and sitting in the chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran. I've got so many things underlined in my Bible, sometimes I can't read it. He ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from him. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doeth hindereth me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he went and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, not to be sprinkled, by the way. They both went down to the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. Now, isn't that something that eunuch comes up out of that water and don't see the one that was baptizing him? And the Lord done took him somewhere else, but it didn't matter much to that eunuch. He went on his way singing and rejoicing because he is born again. He heard the truth. He drove 1,500 miles there, 1,500 back, and had probably got to Jerusalem. Those Sadducees and Pharisees up there wouldn't give him the gospel. And so he was coming back home, still not hearing the gospel. But thank goodness that God uses servants like that. I want to show you some things I noticed here. And as a matter of fact, for you ambassador students, I made it easy for you. They all start with S. In the conversion of this Ethiopian, first there was a sinner. You notice, there's always a sinner. That's the way God starts every salvation, doesn't he? Conversion, it starts with the sinner. And then the Spirit. The Spirit, I believe, showed up about four times. The angel of the Lord told Philip to go, and then he got up and went, and then the Spirit told him to go join thyself with this chariot, and so he went. But the Holy Spirit Spirit was present when you got saved. I believe that. And He's one that let you know you was a sinner. Did you know you can read? I want you to read these tracts sometime. Don't matter too much which one, as long as they're put out by a good fundamental Baptist church. And the track will show you, first of all, Romans 3:10 or Romans 3:23, that you are a sinner. And this is something you need to know, that you are a sinner. And then it'll go into what can we do about it? Well, as it stands now, the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, Romans 6:23. So we need to pay that sin debt, and then it leads you into other verses there, and pretty much it stays, all the tracks are staying in the Romans Road, we call it, these certain verses. So we had a sinner, and then we had the Spirit, and then the third thing I see here is a servant, Philip. Philip got around. He was, as a matter of fact, when the Lord called him to go down there, he was doing a good job winning souls there where he was. But the Lord told him to go down into Gaza. And don't you know, these most of these missionaries, you take word of this. A lot of them say they've been called to Hawaii or down at Myrtle Beach or somewhere, some fabulous place. Sometimes He might call you into the desert. But he got up and went. He done what the Lord told him to. He started off his mention there with the group that was, they picked out deacons there in the early church at Jerusalem. And then he started preaching, and now he's a missionary preacher. As a missionary, as far as I know, he won one soul to Christ, and God took him and put him back preaching somewhere else. But he was a servant. And not only that, this Ethiopian, if you look on the map, he was from Africa. I mean, Ethiopia, you go through Gaza and into Egypt and then Sudan, and then he had to go through those places to get back to Ethiopia, which is the northeastern part of Africa. So you know, I noticed when I was studying this that as far as I know, this was the first person from Africa that got saved. And he's took the gospel message back to Africa. See what God can do if you win one soul. There's no telling what that soul is liable to do, how God might use him. But then we see a servant, and not only that, he was available, and he was ready. He's ready to do what God wanted him to do. And then we see where the Scripture was used in verse 32 and verse 35. It says he was reading this Scripture, and then it says that Philip began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus from the book of Isaiah. You say, why didn't he go to Romans or John or one of those books? Because this was 1 year after Jesus was crucified, and those books wasn't around at that time because they hadn't been written yet. But behold, I come in the volume of the book. You can find Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. It speaks of a lamb coming. You say, does a person have to hear the gospel, have to hear Scripture to be saved? Can't you just ask them, you want to go to heaven with me when you die? And they say, yeah, and then pray this prayer. Is that can you do that? I mean, don't they have to hear the gospel? Romans 1:16 says, "Why I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is." Have you ever wondered what it is, the gospel of Christ? "For it is the power of God unto salvation." I mean, it takes the gospel for someone to get saved. When I go to the Philippines, I've taken, y'all probably know Barry Goodman down at Faith. He's been to that camp and preached, and he saw some of my church buildings. But I've had a good many more preachers and pastors go there with me. But I've had one or two of them ask me, what's a good thing to preach when we get there? And I said, don't try to show off your Greek and doctrine and all the things you learned in school that's going to be way over their head. Just preach the gospel that Jesus died for your sins and he rose the third day, and preach the gospel that they have to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. This Ethiopian said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." What a testimony, because most of the world don't know that. Most of the world don't believe that. You know, in Romans, I don't need to be chasing this rabbit, but I will. Romans 10:9 says, "That if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And then that Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But you know, that next verse has a what you might call a few prerequisites. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Does it help for a lost person to call on Jesus when they've never heard the gospel and don't even know who Jesus is? How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? So they hear, they believe, and then they call on. And Romans 10:17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So the steps are, you hear the word of God from your neighbor or a preacher. That's the reason it's so important for you to ask people to church. They'll at least hear the gospel while they're here. I know, because I've heard a lot about your pastor. He preaches the gospel. But anyway, I tell these going to the Philippines, don't get too deep in your theology. Just preach the simple gospel. Because number one, English is their second language, and we're just lucky they can understand English. Boy, I sure wouldn't want to have to learn their language, Tagalog, because I've heard them. But the funny thing is, I take these other preachers, and those Filipinos can understand them, but they can't understand me. I was told in India, I asked my pastor interpreting for me, I said, if they can understand English, why do I need an interpreter? He said, because you don't speak English. You don't speak the Queen's language, and I can understand I don't sound like someone from England or Australia, but I thought I sound like the rest of you folks, but I guess I don't, because this is honest truth. I bet 20 times when I went over there recently, I asked one of the Filipinos something, and they just stood there. And I turned to one of them, tell him what I said. And one of the Filipinos would tell them in English what I said, and they understood him, but they could not understand me. But that's fine. God uses crazy fat people anyway. But then we see a sinner in the spirit and a servant in the scriptures. We see he preached unto him Jesus, a Savior. Now, you know, I've been to India about 6-7 times, And I told some of these guys here, those people in India didn't like Americans. They liked you if they could get something off of you, but if they could gain or profit by you. But they didn't really like you. And those Shelby and I went to Honduras about 6 or 8 times and happened a missionary down there. And those people, they really didn't like Americans. They're the ones coming across the Mexican border now and starting MS-13 and all from Honduras, the mean people. But, honey, what was I going to say? I have these senior moments. And what it does, it makes a 20-minute message stretches it down to 40 minutes. Well, you go ahead and tell them what I meant to say. I can't. But we needed to preach unto him Jesus, and so it was a Savior. And then number 6, I see, let me just ask you guys, how many of you going into mission field, you think? Any ambassador students here? Hallelujah. Let me see you after church and I'll talk you out of that. No, that's good. Be prepared, but let me tell you, I've saw miracles. I've really saw miracles. It may sound like I was bragging, but I haven't done anything. God has just put things in my hands. I see a need over there. I come back and tell a few churches, and they'll give me the money. Never know where the next money's coming from for another church building or a church van or one of those tricycles. Never know where it's coming from. But like I took several pastors with me over there this time, and two of them is going to build a church building, and one of them is completing one right now. He gave me the money. A good thing about it is I can, when I started 10 years ago in the Philippines, we could build a church building for $7,000. But since then, the American dollar has increased the value compared to their currency, and we can still do it for $7,000 10 years later. So God watches out for things like that, don't he? He watches out for people like me that ain't good for nothing much. But let me tell you what God's done. I have sent on the average $4,000 a month over there for 10 years. And with the buildings and all we built, I've sent $500,000 over there to the Philippines. Now, I've had a good many pastors say, I don't want to support a missionary that don't go to the field and stay. And I try to tell them, I think that God is using me, and he would use a lot more if they would do it, but using me to as a channel of blessing to get the money over there. They can't ask for the money. But the only way is for me to come and ask you for the money. I'm not going to try to get you to take up an offering for church building tonight. Say amen right there. But you know what? Let me tell you, there's a church up in Polk County. Usually when we went up there, they have 20 people. A concrete block building with outside bathrooms. And they have built 2 church buildings in the Philippines. So I think, you know, they could have fixed them some indoor plumbing. They needed a building. They needed a building fund. They needed work done on their building. But they figured, well, we we'll just keep going like we're going. The Lord's going to come back one of these days, and we don't want to be caught with a bank account, and that's what we need to think about. But let me tell you one miracle. When I pastored for 10 years, church here in Cleveland County, and I really felt led to get into mission work. Didn't know how God was going to use me, but I also didn't know how I was going to make a living. I mean, you know, you can't just start with nothing and go on deputation. So I wasn't like Philip. I didn't get up and go. And I wrestled with that for a year. And I told Shelby, my wife, and I said, if God wants us to do it, He'll take care of us. We had no income whatsoever. And you know what? God took care of us. We went on deputation, and it seemed like the first 6 months, someone would come up to me and give me $1,000, an individual. Another individual gave me $1,000. One gave me $1,600, and to keep us going till we raised a little bit of support. Never did raise a whole lot of support, but I got tired of running around all over the place. But God has really been good. I got one businessman down in South Carolina that gives me $1,550 a month to operate this ministry over there when I'm not there. And I got a few churches give me the money for to feed the children. I go into a church building, Brother Davidson, and I ask them, I say, I'm talking about churches here in America, and I can ask you this, how many of you believe in a hereafter? Raise your hand if you believe in a hereafter. Then you know what I'm here after. I need about 5 more church buildings and numerous other things, and some of those tricycles. So I tell these churches that if you believe in the hereafter, then you know what I'm here after. But let me tell you what happened here with Philip, where this sixth S comes from. When in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, only a year before this time, you remember the church that said they had all things in common and no one had a need for anything. If they had a need, they would take care of the widows and all like this. And Barnabas had a piece of land, and he sold it. And these other guys, and you know what? Philip was there most likely. When he started out preaching, he didn't have any money. He gave it all to the church. And that's a good thing, because then, if the Lord called you, He's got to take care of you. And He can do a whole lot better job than we can ourselves, can't we? Shelby and I was talking about this on the way up here, how that God has always took care of us. And it's just been amazing. We never have too much, but we always have enough. So, what Philip needed to go into Gaza, because, you know, when he took off Gaza, he didn't know how long he'd be gone. The Bible didn't say that. The Holy Spirit told him. There's no McDonald's down there in Gaza at the time. There's nowhere to eat in the desert except cactus. What was he going to do? You know what he done? He went to the church and said, "Look, God wants me to go into Gaza. I need some support." I mean, no doubt between when the Spirit of the Lord or angel of the Lord said, "Get up and go," and the next verse where he got up and went, he must have went to the church and said, "I need some money." I'm not saying that he definitely did, but that's where missionaries get their money, from local churches. And I saw these missionaries back here on the board, and I tell you what, I really like that. Really like the mission program y'all got coming, because you have going, because I've seen some churches that there's churches here in Cleveland County, Fundamental Independent Baptist Churches, that have no missionaries, and they said we can't afford them. And I've told a couple of them, said, well, my opinion, you never will be able to afford them. If you've got to do it by faith first. And when I pastored, we took on missionaries, and God be my witness, every time we took on a missionary, the annual cost of that missionary would come into the church within a month, and in a way that we wouldn't expect it. We'd get a check from somebody here, check from somebody there, and that we wasn't expecting, and others paid for those missionaries. But so it wasn't our church. But I appreciate y'all. Appreciate what you've done to help us. And more than anything, you can pray for us. Pray for us because I went in January. That took some preachers. Went back in May. I didn't tell you this. In January, it's a little bit different over there. They let us get into a public school, high school, and preach the gospel. And there's 8,000 in this high school. And as they graduated, another one's come on, and 10th graders have come on, 11th graders. And so it's the principal said you can come anytime you want to and preach as often as you want to. And shortly after that, the principal got saved. And one of the teachers got saved. So after she got saved, she said, I'll give y'all a little piece of land here on campus if you want to build something like a student center. And I said, well, we'll call it a church because that's what it will be. But so they gave us the land, and one of the pastors I took over there in May gave the $7,000, and it's I've seen some pictures. It may not be built because it's the rainy season now, but it's just so wonderful how the Philippines will let us preach in the public schools, and then in the prisons. They let us go into the prisons and preach. I went into prison, and I'd never really been felt sorry for prisoners till I went in there. They had an area about this high and had cages stacked on top of each other. Didn't look like the cages was over 5.5 feet tall. And then they'd have another cage, and then another cage. And in a cage half the size of this, they'd have 10 men all in that little prison cell. And there were so many prisoners in there, and we hand out tracts, and there was arms coming through those bars from everywhere to get tracts. But a lot of them made a profession of faith. We told them to ask them if they wanted to accept the Lord today, and they raised their hand and they came forward. So we don't know how that goes, but I'm hoping that they all got it. But anyway, thank you so much, and always keep us in your prayers.